Hello, welcome to Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. My email address is commonlaw7b@gmail.com. I invite you to send me questions you may have about legal issues. Again, I haven't said it in a while, but if I answer them, I'm not providing you advice because you haven't retained me. I'm just telling you what I know. Before I begin, we got to have a shout out to the month of August. It's been easily the nicest August I can remember in a very long time. It's been a little bit warm, but it's been clear. And I'm just shocked that we got through a whole month without getting smoked out. I guess there's a fire somewhere up north, near Roman Nose maybe, but thus far it seems to be blowing north. I'm sure that it'll switch and blow in about Friday at about 5. But anyway, what are we going to talk about today? I'm not exactly sure. Probably something that we talked about before. But, you know, the problem is I write up what I'm going to say before I do these shows, and then I don't get through it all. And so I don't know what I've talked about and what I've not. But then I listen to the other radio shows, and people are basically saying the same thing they've already said a different way. And then if you watch the news stream, it's basically the same thing a different way all day long on the same channel. So I may repeat myself, and some of you maybe didn't hear it the first time. It's not like a lecture series where, you know, I'm taking you through, a course and we're going to do it piece by piece. Right now, my big bag is critical thinking. And what is critical thinking? It's what I want everybody to do. It's the whole point of this show, besides answering your questions, which you never give me, about law. Critical thinking is objective analysis and evaluation of an issue in order to form a judgment. And why is it important that you engage in this? Well, you do all the time anyway. For example, if your kid comes home and tells you that the other person started the fight, but everybody on the playground says your kid did, well, you weren't there. You don't know. So you kind of have to make an objective evaluation of the facts and determine what seems to be more likely to be true. Because other than the things we see or hear ourselves, everything else we know is information from some other source. So we can't know whether something we hear from some other source is true or not. So all you can do is consider the source and the likelihood that the information is true, meaning the probability that it's accurate. And I'll bring it up because I like bringing it up. So for all you people out there who still think that Trump lost the election based on some kind of voter fraud, well, I don't know for a fact if that did or did not occur in a level sufficiently to swing the election. However, to pull off such a stunt, you would have to have a whole lot of people involved. And it seems really highly unlikely that you could keep all those people quiet about this enormous scheme. And then you pile on top of that, we have, 50-some federal judges, most of whom were appointed by Republicans, and a lot of them by Trump, saying it didn't occur. You have Bill Barr saying it didn't occur. So do we know if it occurred? No, we don't know. All we can do is look at the information that we're being presented and evaluate what seems more likely. And if you think it's more likely that, in fact, there was some sort of fraud that swung this election, well, you need to seriously consider what you're thinking. Because, I mean, that's just basically saying, I just believe whatever I want without regard to what the facts are or appear to be. And that's not productive for society. It's not productive for us. It's not productive for anybody. But that's my little intro rant. I have a few more coming. But right now, I think it's about time for our first break. This is Common Law 7B. I'm Arthur Beislein, and we will be right back.
BF Quick Lube at the top of the South Hill does more than just lubes and oil changes. They do them quick. Just stop by or call and make an appointment at 208-267-7481. Along with regular maintenance, BF Quick Lube can handle most of your other auto repairs. BF Quick Lube would like to take this time to say thank you to each of their customers for putting their trust and support in their services year after year. For a quick lube and oil change and so much more, visit your friends at BF Quick Lube on the South Hill in Bonners Ferry.
The dog days of August are here, and to support homeless dogs, Homestyles Lighting is doing a promotional sale for Kootenai Humane Society. This August, Kootenai Humane Society will receive 10% from the sale of selected wall items, including all wall art, wall maps, and clocks. Help KHS get their badly needed new building built. Visit Homestyles Lighting today and get your beautiful wall item during the Dog Days of August wall sale. 5648 North Government Way in CDA.
Hey, Don Thomas here, speaking on behalf of the Ponderay Design Center and our family of stores, Sandpoint Furniture, Carpet One, and Selkirk Glass and Cabinets. But today I'm not here to try and promote your interest in a product for sale, but more to help shine a spotlight on a very serious need in our community, that of suicide awareness. Suicide is a crisis that takes a toll on all of us. Maybe it hasn't affected you personally, but I would guess that a majority of us could tell a story of tragedy involving a friend or family member making that final fatal decision. It's time to make sure anyone in need in our community knows that there are people here who care about them and are here for them when needed. This year's Long Bridge Walk for Hope takes place on Sunday, September 4th at 5 p.m. Walk for Hope volunteers have gone to great lengths to bring in speakers to connect with our youth, to help bring the light of hope to these individuals. So join us. The time for rhetoric is over. It's time to do something. For more information or to see how to become a sponsor, go to walkforhopesandpoint@gmail.com or call Jennifer at 208-290-8391.
Hi, this is Eve.
And Lauren.
With Knutson Chevrolet.
Knutson Chevy has 120 new Chevy cars and trucks in stock right now. You can drive yours home today.
Choose from over 36 2022 Chevy Silverado Crew Cab LT 4x4s for only $45,998. That's 10% off MSRP. That's right, over 36 available now at this price, plus tax and fees after rebate.
Knutson Chevrolet is your family-owned, family-operated dealership since 1939 that puts customer service above all else.
Visit Knutson.com to schedule your at-home test drive and even purchase your next vehicle online using Shop Click Drive.
Find new roads at Knutson Chevrolet.
Minutes west of Coeur d'Alene, just a short drive east of Spokane at 1900 East Polston Avenue, Post Falls.
Knutson Chevrolet, hard to say, easy to save.
97.1 FM and 1450 AM, 1400 AM, North Idaho's radio.
Hello, welcome back to Common Law. This is your host, Arthur Beislein. I think what I'll do is I'm going to mix in some law stuff with my occasional rants. I was just going to go into another one because I'm really tired of it, folks. I mean, I'm really tired of the stupidity that's out there, that people will just believe anything and they don't care if it seems likely or not, and they spout off. But we're just going to go into the next rant. The library nonsense, that you have the librarians resigning in Kootenai and Boundary because of these parents telling, aggressively confronting them about the books that are in the library. They don't want their kids to see them. A library is not a school, nor is a library a daycare center. So if you want to keep your kids from looking at stuff that you don't want them to see in the library, then do your job. Be a parent. Go to the library with them or don't let them go. But you don't get a sense of what everybody else maybe gets to look at just so you don't have to do your job. I mean, again, I think what they ought to be doing is just grabbing these books and piling them up in the parking lot of the library and lighting them on fire, and then they'll all come down. You can pick your books you want and throw in there, and maybe we could pull up some video from 1936 and they could have a look at that from Germany. You know what they'd say? No, they'd probably say, oh, they had a good idea. You know, the fascists need to take control so these crazy liberals don't, you know, put anything out there that we don't like. Anyway, enough on that. Leave the librarians alone. What I wanted to do is I was going to get a hold of Boundary County and say, appoint me as your head librarian. I don't know anything about running a library, but there are people who do. And so then I can be the policymaker, and I can be the person who makes the decisions, and I can be the person who these idiots confront. Because I would love it. And I wouldn't tell them they're wrong. I would just cross-examine them about their opinion and why they think this is okay. And if, you know, when does it stop? Are they the ones who get to choose? I mean, how does this work? So I'd love to do it. I mean, I actually had a lawyer who used to hire me. He would do subdivisions, and which is our next topic. We'll get into this, covenants, conditions, and restrictions. Well, these people move into these subdivisions, and you know, the realtors tell them whatever they want to hear. Oh, yeah, that field over there is going to be a park. Well, if you look at the plat, it's not a park. It's just future lots. So anyway, they all come into these HOA meetings just acting like that. And he got so tired of it, he would put me up there to basically field these questions, because he'd sit behind me, but he would just, his blood would boil, and he didn't want to go off on him. That's what I think we should do with the librarians. Just say, you know, direct your questions to this guy, set an appointment, you can go see him. You know, they walk up to me on the street and don't get out of my face, I'll have them arrested. I don't know why the librarians don't do that. You can trespass anybody out of a public library, and that's what they should do. Anyway, so that does bring us to our next topic, which is covenants, conditions, and restrictions. I don't think I've ever really talked about them, and people get trapped by these things all the time. What a covenant, condition, or restriction is basically an agreement that you don't sign that controls the use of your land. I mean, you've seen some familiar ones. No commercial operations, dogs must be on a leash. You got to keep your lawn mowed. You can't have trash out front, no broken down vehicles, you know, all these types of things. And nobody ever reads them. And you really should read them, because, I mean, I have probably five active lawsuits right now where it's somebody on the HOA or the HOA board itself who is incidentally spending all the homeowner's money. It's not like they're the ones who have to pay the lawyer. Are just out of control. I mean, they just are, you know, basically picking on certain people, not on other people. And that's what you're getting into when you go into an HOA, which is created by these covenants. A lot of times they're required to develop the property in the first place because the city, you know, wants you to not have some random development. They'd rather have if they're going to let you increase density, like in a planned unit development, well, they're going to want some rules. But here, the biggest one that people get tripped up on is in these most covenants, conditions, and restrictions, especially for the larger developments, there's a thing called period of declarant control. And how that works is, before I get there, is when I say you're bound by these, but you didn't sign up for them, well, they're in your title. So, you know, that's how you're bound by them, because they're in their title. But the provision regarding declarant control is the one you really need to look for, because majority of the time, the declarant, meaning the guy who developed the lots, they reserve the right to change the covenants, conditions, and restrictions. So you could move into what you think is a quaint little community with, you know, houses no bigger than a certain size or no smaller than a certain size, because that's what the covenants say, and then they change. You can have covenants that say this land will be a park, and then it changes, because the declarant can do that, and there's clear case law that says, well, it says what it says, and you bought it knowing that, and so there's really nothing for you to complain about in these things. Most of the disputes related to covenants have to do with basically, you know, people, in my opinion, being lazy. Mow your lawn. Take your trash where it's supposed to be. Hide your trash cans behind the fence. You know, don't park your junked up car on the road for days on end. I wish Sandpoint had some of these. And they do. They have ordinances that kind of, you know, establish the same thing. For all you folks out there with commercial vehicles on the streets, you can't do that. That is against the law in our city. If you want to have a commercial anything in residential area, you have to have it so nobody can see it. And so, you know, there is something you can do about it. The thing that I don't like is that you have to, when you call the police, they tell the person who reported them, you know, which I don't see the necessity for that. So, because if I make a report on somebody and it turns out that I'm completely lying just to harass this person, well, the police will know who I am. And they can, you know, it's against the law to file a false police report or to make a false claim, criminally and civilly. But covenants are basically, the main problem you have, like I said, is that you have a board, and if they get a bee in their bonnet and they got a pile of money that they're collecting from all the homeowners, well, they cause all kinds of trouble. They just, but I mean, I'm not telling you you can get out of it. You know, covenants are in the title. You're not going to get around them. The other thing to look carefully at is if you get a set of covenants, make sure that you have all the amendments or supplements to those covenants. And then if you find something in the amendments or supplements you don't like, look at how the amendment or supplement is said to have been created. I'm just working on a case today where some guy's trying to shut off my client's water, and he's got all these amendments to his CC&Rs. Well, he's the only one who signed them. He had no period of declarant control. He had no ability to execute these covenants without a 2/3 vote of the rest of the homeowners. And so what will happen often is the developer gets some bright idea down the road of something he wants to change to his advantage or her advantage, and then they just unilaterally execute these things. And, you know, the county recorder doesn't know. They just record them. And now they're a cloud on the title, and they rarely keep any record of voting as far as amendments and all that. So it's just a huge hassle. And since we're talking about homeowners associations, the other thing that you need to make sure that your homeowners association is doing is creating what we call a sinking fund, a capital fund. I had a case that involved some condominiums that were constructed 40 years ago on cedar logs, basically. They were big. That was the foundation. These, you know, upright, they were using cedar poles like piling. Well, they'd, you know, been going on forever and never accumulating any money anywhere, just, you know, send out the monthly dues. Well, then all of a sudden, all these cedar pilings were rotting out and the bottoms of these buildings were falling out from under them. And you're looking at a $250,000 repair job for the HOA that they don't have the money for. And now they're, you know, basically my client had to lend the HOA the money to fix all these things. And then, you know, the HOA has to do an assessment every month to eventually pay her back. But that is another really big thing that is missed is, you know, and it depends on what you're talking about. And it's not just homeowners associations. We're talking road maintenance agreements, well use agreements, shared well use agreements. All these things need to have. You need to make sure that you're accumulating money for the rainy day, for a lack of a better way to put it. Most of you don't do that. Most of you don't even have road maintenance agreements, which, again, I strongly recommend you get one, because if there's some guy up at the end of the road's going to buy a lot and he's like, well, if I want to improve the road or the road needs to be repaired, I can't really force anybody downstream from me to do it. And I end up eating the whole thing. That's why they enhance the value of your property, because it creates certainty for buyers, and certainty are what buyers want. I mean, at least buyers that are paying any kind of attention. But anyway, that's restrictive covenants, and they can be all kinds of things. They can literally be anything. You can have view easements in the covenants, meaning you can't build anything this high, color of the buildings. The only thing you can't do is restrict anybody based on race and religion, I think, but I know race for sure, because that was obviously in a lot of covenants dealing with African Americans back in the day before that was thrown out. And that's interesting, because covenants and conditions are not, that's not state actors. In order to have a constitutional violation, you have to have a state actor. And so if it's a private developer, you're going, well, how does that work? But I think it's just generally you can't discriminate based on race. I don't care if you're public or not. But and I'm pretty sure the opinion in essence says, well, you're using our court system to enforce it, and that's enough. Anyway, that's what covenants are. I read them carefully, look at how they can collect money from you. Look if they can shut things off, look at the remedies, but you really need to go through them, and they're not that hard to read, and something will probably jump out at you if it's something you don't like. And then if you find something, just shoot me an email here at commonlaw7b@gmail.com, and I will answer your questions about them. And I think we're ready for our second break. Again, this is Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. Thank you for listening, and we'll be right back.
Hey, the end of summer's almost here. Kids are getting ready for the new school year, but I'll be left behind unless I get my rear in gear. Neil here from Auto Credit Sales.
That's some great writing, bro. We should call you Neil Raymond.
And I need your old ride.
Gotcha.
So if you bring your keys in, I'll help you end this season on a high note. You could get way more for your old ride. So don't spend another minute in a car you hate. Trade up when you could trade it in today. Even if you've had credit problems in the past, my For the People credit approval process works. So if driving your current car is getting old, bring your keys in and you could get the deal of the season when you get way more for your old ride. But hurry, only during my end of the season keys in sales event. I'm Neil Ryman, your dealer for the people. See all the cars at autocreditsales.com. That's autocreditsales.com.
Credit requires bank approval. Negative equity may be refinanced. Offer absolutely ends August 31st, 2022.
Bomp, bomp, bomp.
Save now with Bi-Mart's latest savings book arriving exclusively in our members' mailboxes this week. Inside, you'll find 16 pages packed full of everything you need to get ready for fall. From back-to-school supplies and snacks, to pantry essentials, to camping gear and more, Bi-Mart has you covered. Save now with our latest savings book and more, including the ability to shop and save at Cascade Farm and Outdoor. Membership means more, only at Bi-Mart.
It's a beautiful time of year to visit the historic city of Stateline, the gateway to North Idaho's sportsman's paradise. Take advantage of the low, low Idaho prices on gas and tobacco products at A1 Smoke Shop, Amerimart, Liberty Stop and Go, and Lou's Smoke Shop. There's great food available at Smoke and Mike's, Lou Taco, and Cooper's Express. And the nightlife is always exciting at the Saddle Store Inn, El Patio, Little Italy, Cruisers, Nashville North, Contiki, and Stateline Showgirls. Take it to the line, Stateline, Idaho.
The Hydra on 2nd and Lake is Sandpoint's original steakhouse. Stop in today for breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
All new hours. Kate, the prior GM, and her husband Carson are the new owners, with your favorite lounge and restaurant staff, now open for breakfast daily starting at 8 a.m. Yep, you heard it right. Now open for breakfast at 8 a.m.
Come on back to the Hydra for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. The Hydra, 2nd and Lake in Sandpoint.
Why are Idahoans like Danielle from Boise choosing to get vaccinated against COVID-19?
I chose to get vaccinated while I was pregnant. My thought was any immunity that I have has the chance of being passed on to the baby. And I just feel like it was a decision that I made on behalf of myself and behalf of my baby.
You can choose to schedule a vaccination appointment and learn more at coronavirus.idaho.gov.
Missed a noon hour? Check out the audio at our new website, NorthIdahoRadio.com.
Welcome back. This is Common Law. I am your host, Arthur Beislein. Again, asking you to send me an email, a question, about anything, something on the news you saw, something in your own personal life you want to know about. And just reminding you, I won't use your name. I never use anybody's names. So just send me something. I mean, I've got to come up with something to talk about every week for an hour. I'm going to have to get some more guests back in here. It was always nice when they'd come in and take the whole hour, then I'd have a whole nother show already written and I wouldn't have to do anything. Anyway, let's go back to not happy with what's going on around here, which is what I'm not. Number one, putting a flag, an American flag on your car, no more makes you a patriot than putting a Jesus Loves Me sticker on your bumper makes you a Christian. That's not patriotism. Patriotism is not telling the world how awesome you think America is and getting mad at anybody who might criticize it. Patriotism is holding down a job, contributing to our economy, and being nice to your neighbors. And I just don't understand, you know, when everybody got to, you know, if you don't agree with each other, y'all hate each other, and y'all think we're going to run the country into the ground or whatever. That's what's going to run the country into the ground, folks. It's going to be all this vitriol when we try to talk to each other, and especially when the vast majority of you have no basis for anything you believe in the first place. And I'm not saying one side or the other. You know, that's my new deal now. I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. I'm not going to do any of that. I'm just going to cross-examine you and make you back up what you believe and justify all this anger and rage against the other team as you perceive them. There is no other team. There's just Americans. I mean, I hate the idea that we have to have buildings get destroyed for us all to get on the same page again. But maybe that's what has to happen. A good old-fashioned invasion or something. I mean, Mexico used to own California and Arizona. Maybe they could invade and try to get it back, just like the Russians getting Ukraine back, that some people seem to, like, excuse their behavior based on that basis, which is absolutely bizarre to me. And anyway, maybe I've said it before, but the one nice thing about that Russian nonsense in Ukraine is we've learned that they don't have a clue what they're doing. And we can refocus our efforts on China because they're the ones that are going to cause trouble in the near future. So since we have, I think, 10 more minutes until the next break, I want to talk a little bit about criminal law and criminal procedure. I've talked about it before, I think, and I don't know what I talked about, but here's the idea. We all understand the idea of a warrant, and we all understand the idea of a warrantless search. A warrantless search is presumed to be invalid because it's not, you know, done in front of an impartial magistrate looking at what you think you know. You just do it yourself. They're legal, though, because the way the Fourth Amendment reads, it says, you know, no unreasonable searches, and then it talks about the magistrate. So they basically have said it's not unreasonable for an officer to search your car for weapons when they arrest you. They've created all kinds of these pretextual things. Maybe I mentioned the best one that they have is they arrest you, then they impound your car. Then they do an inventory search just so you can't say that they stole anything. Of course, if you're not there for the inventory search, that's just absolutely idiotic. If they take something, then they're not going to inventory it and say they took it. They're just going to take it. So that's just a complete pretext to allow the officers to search a vehicle. But those are warrantless searches. And, you know, there's a lot of rules that apply to that kind of stuff. There's a lot of rules that talk about, you know, if I'm in hot pursuit of some suspect and he runs into some house, can I go in the house? Because you always have to have a warrant to enter a house. That's just the rule. So, you know, a warrant to enter a house, how do you get one of those? Well, the officers swear out an affidavit. The affidavit can be based on hearsay, meaning so-and-so told me this, you know, and they don't have to sign an affidavit. And basically what they have to do is convince a magistrate, and this is at state and federal levels, that it is basically reasonably probable that if they search this place, they're going to find evidence of a crime. So, for example, the FBI or the Justice Department of the United States can't issue a warrant. I've heard that said a billion times by people who don't know what they're talking about just because they think everybody's out to get Trump. I mean, and at what point do you say where there's smoke, there's fire with this idiot? I mean, good God. Anyway, I'll get back to where we'll just take it in order here. So in Trump's case, you know, I don't know if you all watch Fox News or Newsmax, because if you do, you're not getting any of this, which is, this isn't my opinion. This is fact. They've been trying to get this stuff back from him for 18 months, classified information. Let me ask the first question, why would he have that? He doesn't read. That's pretty well established. He doesn't read anything. So what does he need all this stuff for? The only thing I could think is leverage, sell it, blackmail somebody with it. Why would he take it? I mean, it's not presidential records. I mean, this is clearly highly classified information that he should not have in his possession. And so what laws is he breaking? Well, 18 U.S.C. 793, that's the one he's breaking. That's one of them. It carries a fine and up to 10 years in prison. He's also violating 18 U.S.C. 1519, which has up to 20 years in prison, and 18 U.S.C. 2017, which is 3 years in prison. And you can Google those up, folks. Just type that into your little search engine. It'll pull that statute right up for you, and you can read them, and you can pretty clearly see he was not supposed to have those documents. Now, do we know we had those documents? Well, yes, we do. Because what you don't know is, as I said, they've been trying to get this stuff back for 18 months from this jackass. And he finally gave them some. But then somebody ratted out the fact that he had more. So they kept trying to negotiate with him and his hooligans to get these back. And then they just quit cooperating. And so he got a warrant. So there's no question of reasonable probability they're going to find evidence of a crime there because it's there. But also because he already gave them stuff. Which brings me to the next point. Oh, those people planted those boxes. Really? I mean, that's just idiotic. Now, why would they do that? To entrap the poor guy? Because everybody's out to get him on the witch hunt. Again, where there's smoke, there's fire. This guy's breaking the law on a daily basis. This one is blatant. And I'm sure they won't do anything about it because they're worried about the idiots storming the Capitol again or more FBI death threats for doing their job. But here's the thing about this planting of boxes. That'd be a neat trick. But why would they do it? Well, they want to entrap him, right? That's what we have established. So if they want to get him and they want to bust him, did they need to do that? No, he already turned over a bunch of this stuff voluntarily. He already hung himself on this. They didn't need to plant anything. Each one of these documents is a violation of that law. You could charge him with violations of hundreds of counts of these things for the information he gave you. So you don't need to entrap him with anything. They want the boxes back because there's stuff in there that shouldn't be in some orange-colored idiot's house who has no, absolutely zero regard for the rule of law, is obviously in bed with the Russians and God knows who else, and they're in his possession. I mean, that's why they want him back. And, you know, I doubt they'll do anything to him, but they just want to damage assess and see, all right, well, here's what it is in here. And here's what we need to do to try to offset if any of this got out, which seems highly likely because they're not in a secure location. There's people all around, his servants. If word leaked out that these were there, how hard would it be for somebody to bribe one of his underlings, servants, or whatever, to go in there with a cell phone and scan this stuff? I mean, it's just absolutely unbelievable that anybody thinks this is okay. It's just totally, completely out of the realm of okay. It's not okay. And if you think it's okay, then the only thing I can conclude is you think, yeah, this was a setup. He didn't really do it. I mean, again, is there any point where you people are going to go, you know, there's no proof of what Trump is saying. He's up there saying, yeah, they planted the boxes. He's got no proof of it. If he had proof of that, he would sue the FBI. Think about it. Wouldn't you? I mean, it's what we call defamation per se, which is slander, libel is what you hear. But it basically means you're accusing him of a serious crime. It means that he can sue you without having to prove any damages at all. And that's the similar theory where these Old Dominion people are suing Trump's lawyers and Rudy Giuliani and everybody else, because when you say that your voting machine doesn't work, when it does, well, you're going to get sued, and you should get sued. I mean, it's just hard to believe that anybody's buying this. If you're buying this and you're out there, you need to look seriously hard at what you're believing. I mean, do you really think that there is this huge conspiracy of people out there that can just come up with anything they want to do? That they can swing 7 million votes in an election without anybody knowing? I've said it before. I said it again. If they are out there, I wouldn't mess with them because they obviously are extremely powerful. And if you uncover anything, they're just going to whack you and take you to the south end of the lake. Anyway, that was the rant. I think we'll talk about water law when we get back, if I, you know, calm down. But anyway, this is Common Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein, Common Law, number 7, letter B at gmail.com, and we'll be right back.
Have you tried the new Fastlane checkout at the Sandpoint Super One Foods? There's 6 new Fastlane checkout stations, and they are super convenient and super easy to use. Check it out today. And if you're looking for a great job, Super One Foods is hiring with a variety of positions available, with some of them starting at $18 an hour. Apply today at superonefoods.net or simply stop by the store. Super One Foods in Sandpoint.
Join the Bonner General Health Foundation on September 24th for the Find Your Strength Family Fun Run. The Community 5K and Superhero 1K concludes with a post-race party with live music, magicians, face painting, and more. Both races begin and end at City Beach. The funds raised during our event will go towards a state-of-the-art rehab technology that has transformed the lives of many who have lost the ability to walk. To learn more and to register, visit bonnergeneral.org/foundation.
Have you heard the legend of the beast? It's a tale that's been told in these parts for generations. They say the beast stalks the local woods and roads, a rugged, fearless animal who feeds on wet pavement, thick mud, and fresh snow. It's quick as a bird, but strong as a bull. An alpha predator with a roar that can rip concrete and steely teeth that gnash through even the thickest of brush. The beast isn't scared. It doesn't have to be. It owns these parts. But there's still a chance it can be tamed by the right hero. Whether you're looking for the ultimate tool on the worksite or just a wreck vehicle fit for a weekend warrior, Ford F-150 is your best choice for work or play. Visit your local Northwest Ford dealer or buyfordnow.com to see why the new Northwest Edition F-150 is creating a beastly legend all its own.
Selkirk's Pendere Transit is your convenient and free local bus transportation. Hop on the spot stop nearest you. Hours are 6:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. with 40 stops 7 days per week serving Dover, Sandpoint, Kootenai, and Pendere. The map, schedule, and live bus tracking is available at spotbus.org. They are following FTA cleaning guidelines, keeping spot passengers and drivers safe. Again, visit spotbus.org to see spot schedules, map, and bus tracker. Selkirk's Pendere Transit is your convenient and free local bus transportation. See you on spot.
August 31st through September 5th, the 41st annual Pig Out in the Park returns to beautiful Riverfront Park in Spokane, Washington. Free admission, 50 food booths, 250 menu items, 4 adult beverage gardens, and 112 free concerts on 4 stages. Headliners include Too Slim and the Tail Draggers, Heart by Heart, Rail, Petty Fever, and Do or Die. For a complete list of food booths and bands, go to pigoutinthepark.com. August 31st through September 5th, it's the 41st annual Pig Out in the Park. You'll never eat it all.
KSPT, KBFI, North Idaho's radio.
Welcome back. This is Kallman Law. I'm your host, Arthur Beislein. My email is kallmanlaw, one word, number 7, letter B, at gmail.com. I'm here to answer your questions. Or you could just find me at the next cocktail party and corner me and ask me there, which nobody seems to have a problem doing. I don't know why you all won't ask me any questions, especially if it's about law. You know, when I, you know, if you want to talk about Trump or whatever, again, I'll be nice about it, but you're going to be put to the test. Anyway, before I forget, between this show and the last show, I saw probably my favorite political move in a really long time. And I, you know, I'm not commenting on what was accomplished, just how it was accomplished. And I just was laughing. It was awesome because it impacted my favorite man, Tippy the Turtle. Look at that turtle go, bro. Mitch McConnell. Mitch got played like the way he plays all you poor people that think that he gives a rip about you by cutting taxes. Because he doesn't. His ilk don't. You don't give corporations giant tax breaks because you care about the working man. All right, I know. Well, they could lower prices. We've already established. No, they cannot do that. They can't pass on a pile of money to the consumer because they want to be nice. They will charge you what they can charge you and not a penny less. Because if they do, they're breaching their fiduciary obligation to the shareholders. There's no argument on this, folks. There's no disagreement on this. It's called capitalism. It's what we do. So no, they're not going to cut the prices just because they got a pile of money. Two, well, they could pay their workers more. Same argument. They're not going to pay their workers anything more than what the market demands. And thankfully, the market's demanding a little bit more right now. Why? Because we have a shortage of workers. Why do we have a shortage of workers? Oh, because they're all sitting at home on their COVID money. No, they're not. They had that dried up a long time ago. What happened was you had a whole slew of people retire at the start of COVID. They're like, screw it, I'm close enough. And look at the retirement rates, all that stuff. You can find it right online. That's what happened. So you had a whole bunch of people in the lower parts of the workforce move up into those jobs, and now we don't have enough people. But don't let the immigrants in, because they're the ones packing all the drugs across the border. No, they're not. Their drugs are coming across at legitimate crossings. They don't use immigrants as mules. Well, then why are they in the desert? They're in the desert because it takes too long to process them. We need to hire people, vet these people, figure out what their skills are, and figure out where to send them so we can fill all these jobs that we need people for. Anyway, back to the corporate tax break thing. So the last Hail Mary for anybody out there who thinks that that's good for poor people is that it creates jobs. Again, not the case. Okay, if you're talking about a small corporation, yes, because if they think that they can make more money, but they need capital to expand to do that, that will help them get capital. Do you think if a big corporation thinks they can make more money if they expand and create more jobs, can't raise the capital to do it? Of course they can. If the only reason they haven't done it is because they don't think they can, it's not worth it. It's not worth the economic impact of doing it. They're not making any money, or they would do it. There's a reason there's not a Trader Joe's in Coeur d'Alene. It has nothing to do with their inability to open a Trader Joe's in Coeur d'Alene. It has to do with where it is. I mean, that's how it works. So no, they're not going to create jobs just because they can, because they can already do that. So anyway, that's the only argument anybody ever says about what Trump accomplished, which is this corporate tax cut. And I'm like, are you rich? Are you a shareholder in some huge company? Well, then I get it. But if you're not, well, you don't know anything about economics. You don't know anything about how corporations work, shareholders, and the board's obligation to the shareholders. Same with insurance companies. State Farm is not a good neighbor. State Farm is somebody who's there to take your premiums, screw you when they can, and then make as much money as they can for their shareholders. All right, anyway, so back to what I wanted to talk about. My favorite political move is, you know, Joe Manchin's been upsetting me from pretty much day one of Biden's presidency. And I just think he's an attention hog and whatever. He's just being a pain. Nothing can get done with, you know, because he and this other cinema person are in the way. So when, you know, Biden was working up this, is it Inflation Reduction Act? Is that what he called it instead of Build Back Better or something? I don't know. But in essence, it's that big bill that they just got done. Before that, the whole time when this is getting worked up, Manchin is screaming he will not sign on. He won't do it. He won't do it. He won't do it. And so McConnell, Mitch, was threatening to, well, one, maybe you caught that he blocked the bill to help the veterans with their toxic lung thing or whatever because he didn't like this Inflation Reduction Act bill. Two have nothing to do with each other. And they blocked that. And then when John Stewart and everybody else railed on him, they reversed themselves and let it go through. Well, he was threatening to do the same thing with this Microchip Act that basically was a plan to repatriate the production of these chips to our country. Now, maybe you're not, but most of us are aware that there's been a microchip shortage in that, you know, most notably you find it that cars, we can't get any cars. Well, you can't, these cars all need chips. I mean, everything needs these chips. Most notably, our military needs these chips. And if China invaded Taiwan, 85% of the production of these things would be under Chinese control. Everybody agrees we can't have that national security threat hanging out there. We need to produce chips here. It's going to cost a lot of money to do it. They'll be more expensive, but we won't need them. You know, we can still supplement. We just have to have the ability to keep running if China grabs onto Taiwan and shuts it down, which I think they're probably going to do. For that reason alone is what they will do it for. So Mitch is, you know, threatening to block that bill because he doesn't like this this Inflation Reduction Act. And Manchin, because he had been toeing the line as far as being a pain in the neck for the Democrats since the beginning of Biden's presidency, well, I think he had some credibility with Mitch. And so, you know, he said, no, I will not sign this. Ain't going to happen. Well, then Mitch, okay, he's feeling pretty confident. So he puts through this microchip bill. And then literally, I think it's like an hour later, Manchin says, yeah, no, I'm good with it. He's going to sign on Biden's inflation bill. I wish I could have been a fly on the wall in McConnell's office. That would have been so much fun to see. But, you know, I'm not talking about the result. I think the bill's probably a good idea. I just like to see a good political play like that. And it just shows that, I mean, Schumer, I think Schumer and Manchin were really in the long game on this one. I think that he was a pain on some of this stuff because they knew that something like this was going to come up and they wanted to be able to get it passed and they knew they couldn't get it past McConnell, which, again, I haven't said it for at least two or three shows. The only reason McConnell has this power, which is nowhere in the Constitution, is because of this filibuster rule. And I have emailed, I have called Bernie Sanders, I talked to his secretary. And I said, look, I'll do it for free. Bernie needs to put his money where his mouth is and sue the Senate to say, you got to get rid of that rule. I mean, you can go back to letting people stand up there and talk for days on end just so nothing's put to a vote, make them look like the fools and obstructionists that they are. Or there'd be no reason the Senate couldn't pass a bill, a law limiting debate and saying, you know, you don't need 20 hours if you're going to keep saying the same thing. Like that's where the, you know, Louis, what's his name? Huey Long, I think that was his name, from Louisiana. You can get up there and talk about biscuit recipes and whatever. And I think they need to have the ability to say, no, we're not going to waste our time. If you make your points, you don't get to make them twice or talk about biscuit recipes. But anyway, I just thought that was really fun and I just wanted to share it with you. And I guess that makes me a bit of a nerd for thinking that that's so cool, but it's just, I don't like Mitch McConnell. I don't mean as a person, I don't know him, but I mean, his policies are basically the rich get richer, the poor are going to get poorer. And that's exactly what's happening. And again, folks, if you want to look at what tax cuts do for your economy, one, look around, you know, obviously pre-COVID, was your life any better when these corporations got these huge tax breaks? No, it was not. And look at your graphs on economic growth and look at when that tax cut was passed and does it change? Nope, same steady climb as it was before. All, as I said, job growth didn't change, nothing. All on the same trajectory until we ran into the COVID wall. So thus proving my point, they didn't expand, they didn't add jobs, they didn't increase pay until they were forced to by COVID. And they didn't lower prices. None of that happened. So what exactly are we doing? Just creating a huge pile of money for the shareholders so they can get more, you know, their stock value goes up and they get more distributions from retained earnings. And if you disagree with that, I invite you to come on down and explain to me the alternative position, because this isn't me talking. You know, I remember I was a finance major. I studied a lot of economics and I still do. This idea of trickle down is completely debunk, and anybody who believes it is basically not considered to be a professional in the area of economics. Anybody who thinks that's a good idea, it's only a good idea for the rich, and everybody says it's not true, it doesn't trickle, and my point has always been, it's totally true. That's exactly what happens. You create a huge pond of money for all these fat cats, and a little teeny bit of it trickles down to you, like when they give you the $500 bonus at Walmart because they got the tax breaks. And then, you know, why did they do that? Well, to keep you people from storming the Capitol, which you wouldn't have done anyway, because when you heard Jeff Bezos didn't pay any personal income tax, nobody seemed to care. I kind of blows me away. I care. I mean, I pay a lot of personal income tax. He should be paying a whole lot more than me. And I don't know, you know, I don't blame him. It's not, you know, the Supreme Court said it's your duty to take every tax break you can. Nothing wrong with that. So it's not his fault. It's basically your tax code's fault, and people need to demand that it be fixed. But, you know, good luck with that. People like their money. Anyway, it looks like we're coming up at the close of the show. Thank you all for listening. And I will take your questions. If, again, you would please send me one, commonlaw7@gmail.com. And enjoy this last beautiful day of August. Hopefully the wind will stay the right direction. And we will see you next month.